Okay, this is Kathy Donahue, and I'm calling the Town of Hampton Board of Finance special meeting on Monday, November 16th, 2020, at 7, to order at 7:01 p.m. And the first thing on the agenda is roll call seating of alternates. I did receive a text message from Judy that she will not be unable to attend tonight's meeting and ask that Kathy Newcomb be seated in her spot. So I'll do the rest of the roll call. Ed Edelman?
Here.
Nick Brown?
Here.
Diane Gagnon?
Here.
Gary Machinis?
Who?
Gary?
Whoa.
Kathy Newcomb?
Here.
And I'm here too. So, and Alyssa Langeth is also here. Alyssa?
Here.
And Stan Crawford. I don't know whether his audio is working tonight or not. I would like everybody to keep an eye out for any chats just in case I miss them as I'm going through the meeting. I got a thumbs up from Stan. Okay, so moving on to citizens' comments. I have a few citizens on. Would anybody like to speak? Go ahead, Joan.
I would just like to, my name is Joan Fox and I live on Cedar Swamp Road. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. Anyway, I would like to suggest that the Board of Finance doesn't hire its own lawyer. And I have two reasons for that. The first reason is to save money. And the second reason is because it seems to me that you could use the town attorney for everything except when it comes to an issue that would deal with some conflict between you and the Board of Selectmen. And if that situation were to arise, then you could hire a lawyer for that particular instance rather than keeping one full-time on retainer. Thank you.
You're welcome. Does anyone else have a comment from the audience? Okay, hearing none, I'll move on to approval of the minutes of the regular meeting, October 14, 2020. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion, Diane Gagnon.
Thank you. And do
I have a second, Kathy Newcomb.
Thank you. Okay, are there any changes or additions, corrections to these minutes?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Perry Machinis.
In the selectman's report, I believe Alan reported that he had signed the purchase order for the backhoe. And I thought, I was pretty sure I made a comment that again, shouldn't have been done until after the Board of Finance had voted on it. And that observation didn't make it into the minutes.
We can amend them to add that, Perry, if you just repeat what the statement, please.
That I don't remember the exact statement, but I was noting the fact that the first selectman had encumbered the town to those finance, to the cost of that backhoe without the Board of Finance's vote on it, which is required in addition to the referendum that was held with the, to get the approval of the legislative body.
Are there any other?
Yeah, yes, I have a comment, Ed Edelman.
Can you wait? I'm sorry, Ed. I'm still writing Perry's. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
In addition to... Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. The letter that was sent to the selectmen and the Board of Finance from the Brocketts, it was Ben Brockett and Joan Marquis regarding the ambulance corps. As it was printed to us and forwarded to us. There's no date on it. And I know that this sort of situation has spanned a broad period of time, and it would help me to know when this letter was generated or received. I don't know if there is a copy somewhere that does have a date on it, or perhaps it was just sent out without a date, but then I would like to know when it was received.
Okay. Al?
Didn't I forward you the, I don't have it in front of me, didn't I forward you the letter? It had a date on it.
I don't have it in front of me either.
I do have the letter in front of me, and it does not have the date on it. It has all the individuals that it went to, but and it's got a signing block, but there's no date listed on it. I mean, it made me think perhaps it was sent that way, but I would still like to know about when it was received.
I'll look into it, Ed.
Thank you.
Well, I looked into the Board of Finance email account, and the email was sent September 29th from Trudy Brockett.
And the letter I guess that's the question. I didn't know if it was sitting around for a while before it got forwarded to us.
Well, they sent it registered mail, which was never received at the town hall anyway.
Uh-huh.
So, and then they emailed the letter.
Okay. And you sent it on to us
I think Kathy Donahue was CC'd, correct?
Yes, I sent it on.
Okay.
I also didn't receive a registered letter. It just said that it had been sent out by registered mail, but
right.
I didn't receive anything.
Either all right, well, perhaps Kathy's note, observation that the email was received at the end of September. That suffices. I don't need to know the exact time. I just didn't know if it was, last June or something that it all happened. So who knows? Okay. Thank you.
Well, that exactly. Who knows when it was actually penned? They emailed it to us, according to Kathy Newcomb, September 29th.
Okay.
Any other changes, additions to the minutes? Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Ed Edelman?
Aye.
Nick Brown?
Aye.
Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Perry McGinnis?
Aye.
Kathy Newcomb?
Aye.
And Kathy Donahue, I vote aye also, so that's unanimous. Okay, moving on to number 5, presentations. We do not have any tonight, so we move on to number 6, report/action. And the first up is Alan Cahill, first selectman.
Well, first off, last Monday, a week ago today, we were informed by Office of Policy and Management that Hampton, in fact, was awarded their steep grant request to make town hall campus improvements. The award was $67,000, which the town has to match. So sometime moving forward, we'll have to put that money aside in a special line item or add it to the 24-10-02 town hall reserve. I do not have, as of this date, the contract from OPM. They've deferred it to economic development, but they still haven't put the contract forward. And so during the application process, it was my understanding that unlike other awards, we had to front the money and then submit receipts to be reimbursed. So the state's $67,000 and our match would be $128,000. So you'll have to put that in action at some time. I was also informed last week by the executive director of Mid-NEROC, who handles our hazard waste, that they got a letter from the state of Georgia Environmental Protection Department that they were aware of a site in their state called CARE Environmental that was hired by Midney Rock and other Connecticut municipalities, and they in fact had not processed paint and other hazard waste and just had it stored. So they're looking to charge us for the liability. I forward that letter to the town attorney. Howard and Sage also represents many of the towns in Connecticut that receive similar letters. So it's supposed to be a scheduled Zoom meeting next week. After we have that, I'll forward additional information. Also, this Friday, myself, the First Selectman of Scotland, Scotland Superintendent, Hampton Elementary School Superintendent, and the chairs of Scotland and Hampton Boards of Education are going to meet and look for ways to strategies and collaborations to sustain our school system. So hopefully I'll have more to report on that moving forward. And that completes my report.
Okay, does anybody have questions for Al?
Kath?
Yeah, go ahead, Perry. Mitrinus?
I can't remember offhand. Scotland doesn't have a Board of Finance, right?
Scotland's Board of Finance is their Board of Selectmen.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. They don't have a separate Board of Finance. It sounds like someone from our Board of Finance should attend that meeting as a Board of Finance representative.
I don't have a problem attending. Al, what time is that?
I think the first meeting is a meet and greet. Let's get this underway, and then we can bring you in at a later date.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. And Al can always report back on the first meeting as far as the information.
Of course.
Okay, tax collector report. I did send the tax collector report out earlier, the copies of that. I received that from Al earlier. Next up is Ellen, treasurer report.
I have two small transfer requests, $110 from assessor supplies to assessor computer support, and $130 from election cards to election postage and supplies.
Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion for the transfers requested by Ellen?
Nick Brown, I'll make a motion to approve the transfers as suggested by, or as mentioned,
15.
By the treasurer.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Seconded by Perry Machines.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this? Questions? Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Ed Edelman?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Perry Machines?
Aye.
Kathy Newcomb?
Aye.
And Kathy Donahue, aye. Okay, Ellen, do you have anything else to report as far as the financial reports go?
No, but I just wanted to say that the auditor is still in the process of auditing the fiscal year 1920, and it seems to be going well.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'd like to notify the board also that Ellen forwarded me a copy of a letter to send to Mirtha Kalina, the attorneys at law, from the auditor, which is a pretty standard letter as far as information, requesting information from them as far as the billings went, etc. I did sign the letter and forward it to Mirtha Kalina and to the auditor's office. Okay. Moving on, we already did the transfers to Board of Education. Since Joan Fox is here, Joan, would you like to report on RD 11?
Parish Hill is doing pretty well in terms of coping with the pandemic. This is one time when it's an advantage to be a small school because the social distancing is good. The Curriculum Review Committee is working on a curriculum that will increase the number of lessons and activities on inclusion, tolerance, and social justice. There are two neighboring towns who are looking to make Parish Hill a school of choice, Sprague and Canterbury. But because of the COVID since September, they obviously haven't had a lot of time to deal with that particular issue, but that's a positive for the school. The legislature is looking at school funding and trying to look, and also looking at a fiscal equity plan for funding our schools. And the SAT scores from Parish Hill this year were the highest that the superintendent can ever remember. They were excellent. But one of the things that is an issue is that a lot of the colleges are not requiring SATs anymore, at least this year, so that there weren't that many students that took the SATs from Parish Hill, but the ones that did really well.
Okay, thank you, John.
You're welcome.
I did attend the fiscal and plant meeting and the RD 11 meeting. They are looking into updating their air filtration systems and had gotten a quote on that, and that they were also looking into funding for that. And I also sent out to the board as a whole the enrollment summary that I received from guidance from there, and there was some questions, and I set an explanation for the questions. The questions were surrounding the outplace students and the count, and the count and that wasn't on that page was the extended services to the 18 to 21 year olds, and I think everybody received that. And that's it for RD 11. For Hampton Elementary School, I sent you, and I'm sorry it was delayed today, I sent you the packet that was sent to me. Usually the information comes to me in a way that just the reports are separate, so you can click on the reports. I tried to note where the reports, the pertinent financial reports were in there. We had a lot of questions last month about the reimbursements and what we were receiving for reimbursements for the COVID expenses, and those can be found in the business coordinator report. I'd like to attach the business coordinator report to our minutes, just so that information is in our record, if everyone agrees with that. And then I also sent in that packet was also the principal's report, which has their current enrollment. I know they also were looking into their ventilation system and updates to that. Trying to see. It's been evaluated by two different companies. This was in the superintendent's report, and they haven't received the written reports on that yet. And they also spoke about the digital curriculum was discussed with Sam, and she has contacted EastCon for a digital copy of their curriculum, and it will be put on their Board of Ed page once I receive the digital copy of that. And that's all I have for the Board of Education currently. Ed, let's see. Oh, nope, it's further down under old business for you to update us on the negotiations.
Right.
Next is Board of Finance Committees, Policies and Procedures Committee. We have continued to meet. Kathy, can you give us an update on that?
Yes, we've met six times so far, and we have another meeting scheduled for Thursday, December 5th. During that time, we determined what town's fiscal policies and procedures would be solicited and broke up the list among the members. We received manuals from Ashford, Eastford, Chaplin, Brooklyn, Pomfret, Watertown, and Winchester, and we discussed the benefits of each and solicited input from the treasurer and the first selectman. And then we decided to review all of those before our next meeting. And then after that, we decided to use the Pomfret manual as a starting point, customizing for Hampton and adding statutory references where possible. And Ellen located and distributed any procedure manuals from departments in the town of Hampton. And then the last three meetings, we just continued to review and notate changes that were needed, especially after consolidating references to an assistant treasurer and bookkeeper into just the treasurer, so that we just have one person overseeing the finances along with the first selectman. So we're going to continue doing that and adding the references where possible, statutory references where they're relevant.
Okay, that's our
problem. Kathy, Rose Bisson is trying to get into the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Hang on.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
Does the board have any questions? Okay, hearing none, I'll move on to the next. Rose wasn't here for the Board of Education report. Rose, is there anything in particular you want to say or add to the Board of Education report?
One minute. There I am. You know, the school has mostly been focused on dealing with COVID. We have been open. We're one of the few schools we expect to stay open because we're able to do the social distancing. So I'm really glad about that. We've been having negotiations with the teachers, and that's going well. And I guess that's about it.
Okay, Rose, before you signed on, I asked to people of the finance board had questions before of the reimbursements for COVID, so I'm going to attach the business coordinator's reports to our minutes to answer the questions on that.
Okay. Because
you did a very good synopsis of that. But thank
you. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think Rose should know that Alan gave a report to us that there's going to be a meeting with some Scotland people coming up later this week, too. So
you know,
I don't know if you
have. Yeah, I was invited to that. It's the Scotland first selectman, the superintendent and the principal, and it will be Hampton's first selectman, superintendent and board chair, not principal. So I'll be attending that. It's this Friday at 4 in the afternoon, I think. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Going back to the agenda under other, I'd just like to report that I did work at the polls. It wasn't in this month's financial statements, but it will appear in the next one. I did get reimbursed for picking up food for the poll workers for breakfast and lunch. I did not accept any payment for working at the polls that day. I volunteered my time as required. And then moving on to old business. Funding of airline pamphlet and trail completion. I have no new information on that to update people with. Update on negotiations with Hampton Education Association, Ed.
Okay, well, as Rose said, the negotiations have been going well. We had the mediation meeting last week. A contract was agreed upon and will become available for inspection after the teachers approve it and the board approves it. Negotiations went quite well, I thought, quite smoothly. and you know, give and take on both sides, just like it's supposed to be. So I was pleased with the process.
Okay. Next is update on reimbursement for COVID expenses. We had discussed this earlier under the Hampton Elementary School. Sally Business Report actually gave a very good summary of that, and that's why we are going to attach it to the minutes.
There's also some an approval for town CRF program of $2,149 for hazard pay at the transfer station, as well as signs that were placed around town and the mailers that went to all households. So we were approved for that for March through June.
Can we attach that copy also to the minutes, just so we have it in the record?
It was an email that said that we were approved, but I'll try and print it for you, yes.
Okay, or just forward it to me and I can summarize it.
Sure.
Thank you. New business, discussion and possible action on approval of engagement letter for the Finance Board's legal service. Last month we received a new engagement letter from Mirtha and Kalina from Carrie Olson. This year's budget has $3,000 in it for for legal advice, which I do not think we'll use a large amount of that. Just for reference, last year we used 48% of $2,063 of that. I haven't received any billings this year except for one, which was $59 to date, which was questions on the transfers, thresholds, and what was allowed on that by executive order. That's all that's been spent this year so far on legal. I did submit the letter for the auditor to answer questions. There may be some billings coming forth from that. Her rate per hour is $295 for all attorneys and $175 per hour for paralegals. I did reach out after the last meeting to different towns to ask about what they pay. Unfortunately, due to COVID, it is very hard to reach people. Even on the days that the town halls are open, it's forwarded to voicemail. I did email some of them. Gary Greenberg came back to me, and the Brooklyn First Selectman came back to me. They use a firm called Sussman and Shapiro out of New London. Both of those towns use those. The Brooklyn First Selectman didn't want to give me the number off the cuff. He wanted to double check it as far as their hourly rate and said he would get back to me tomorrow. Gary thought that the hourly rate was $150, but he also wanted to double check on that.
30.
With the treasurer, and the treasurer wasn't available when I called. I also called Canterbury and got the answering machines on that and haven't heard anything back from the treasurer or the selectman's office there. So that's where I'm at as far as comparisons go. Taking note of the comment from the audience, I do think it's important for us to have an attorney. We aren't paying them a retainer fee. We just get billed for questions or hours that we use accordingly. This attorney would only be used if necessary. I don't see a large expense there, but there are times when there may be a conflict that we may need separate access to an attorney. So I do feel this is important. Okay, I'm gonna open it up for discussion or motion, if we want to make a motion beforehand to discuss.
Yeah, don't we need a motion to
approve
the engagement letter?
Yep, go ahead, Perry, if you want to make a motion.
I move that we approve the engagement letter that we got from Mirtha Kalina for the current this fiscal year.
It's dated October 13th, 2020.
Thank you.
I'll second that, Kathy Newcomb.
Dana, did you catch the date? Dana?
Nope. I got October
13th, 2020.
13th. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody would like to comment, discuss? Now's the time.
You need a second?
Yeah. Perry, I thought Kathy seconded.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Just one question, Kathy. Do we actually need to sign an engagement letter to, I mean, we used the firm last year without a signed engagement letter, didn't we, or?
No, we did sign an engagement letter last year. I looked it up to double check on that. Okay. And we did sign one. It doesn't commit us to, you know, a fee. It basically lays out their fees in the terms of their engagement, but doesn't commit us to paying them, you know, okay, so much money in reserve.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same concern about the rate, you know, $295 versus $150. If we're paying our town attorney $150, and the other attorney you mentioned was also $150, so why are we paying double? But yeah, that's my main concern.
The other attorney I mentioned, that $150, that's something that the selectman gave me the rate off the top of his head, so he wanted to double check that, because they had switched attorneys also, so he wasn't sure. So anybody else? Perry?
Did we ever nail down what our town attorney's rate is?
Yes, Helen sent that back. Helen?
$160 per hour.
Yeah. And
repeat that, please.
$160 an hour. He's not
under. Thank you.
He is the hourly rate that he charges. Go ahead, Perry.
No, I asked that, and you know, again, I want to reemphasize that to Joan, we don't pay them unless we actually ask them a question. And I would say most of the time, they're going to have their paralegals do 90% of the work, and the attorney is only going to review it and make sure it's right. You know, in the beginning, they'll point them in the right direction. The paralegals will do the bulk of the work, and then the attorney will review it. So if we get a bill for a couple hours, probably a half an hour is the attorney, and the other bulk of that time will be by a paralegal. So, you know, the rate is $300 roughly, but, you know, having my wife as an attorney, I know how that works. The attorney is not gonna do most of the work. We're gonna end up paying $170 for most of the work, and then basically the higher rate for the review. And again, I go back to the fact that she specializes in this type of law, and she does it for bigger towns than us. And when we need specialized answers on specific things that have to do with the Board of Finance, you know, I think it's money well spent to pay a little extra for her specific expertise. That's what I got.
I have a comment. I feel, from what I've heard, it's not. Yeah, this is Ed Edelman. From what I've heard, it sounds like 99% of our legal needs can be handled by our town attorney, and I guess I would rather see us sort of fold things in to that person. One person who can handle, you know, who has the big picture in terms of what's going on in town, as well as handling our specific things. For those highly specialized areas or those areas of conflict, I agree. There might be a need for a different type of representation, but. And I think I made the point also last time that I just feel we're sort of anticipating problems by doing this. I see it as being somewhat of an aggressive stance that we're taking, and I don't particularly think we ought to be doing that. So I think it's costing us money. It's sort of sending a bad message, and I don't think it's necessary.
Perry, can you hang on a sec? I'd like to speak also. Well, go ahead, Perry. You can speak first, and then I'll speak.
No, that's all right. I'll wait.
It doesn't cost us money to have this attorney on call. If there are questions there, and while I agree that the town attorney is a good representative and answers questions, we don't have direct access to him. Our access has to go through the selectman's office. And there are going to be times when there are questions, and even as we redo our policies and procedures, that having an expert in the field review it, I think, is important. I'm not a person who, our board person that reaches out to the attorney for every little question, and if there are questions that can be answered by the town attorney, even some of the questions that arose surrounding the letter received from the Hampton Chapel and the Ambulance Corps, I went to Al. I said, here, I think this needs to go before the town attorney. That went before the town attorney first. I don't think using this firm for the basic stuff is necessary. However, I do think it's very important for the Board of Finance to have someone who has that level of expertise, or something that may arise as a conflict, or the level of knowledge base necessary when we're putting policies and procedures into place. I think that's an important thing. Is there anyone else that wants to speak to this as far as board members?
Yes, I would like to say something.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I have to agree with Perry and Kathy that we need our own Board of Finance counsel, just in case there are situations. Of course, we can't anticipate what those situations might be, but just in case, and it's not costing us anything to have them on call. So I really think that we need to approve this letter of engagement.
Does anyone know if it's typical for Board of Finances to do what we want to do, secure their own legal representation, or do they generally use what's available in town? Perry, looks like you might have an answer.
Well, all I would say is when I was the chairman of the Board of Finance, and I was the one who approached these folks, and she represents at least a half a dozen other towns' Board of Finances. So is it common for every town in Connecticut to have their own Board of Finance attorney?
Every I didn't town, do 2,000 that survey, individuals.
Well, regardless of the size, Ed, the idea to have this attorney is to, one thing that she does is backfills us or backstops us on the laws that pertain specifically to boards of finance, because none of us here are experts. Some of us have spent more time learning about it than others, but none of us are experts. And so when we have a question, I'll be talking to Kathy and we'll talk about something. And inevitably the question comes up, can we do that? Is that the right thing to do? Should we have to worry about this law or how that impacts? Well, if it's important enough, you need to ask somebody who can give you that answer, and that's their field of expertise. And again, just because we sign a letter of engagement doesn't mean we have to ask them 50 questions or spend the total budget. But if something comes up that's specific to that, we don't have to go through the selectman to go ask our question. We go to the attorney that represents other boards of finance, has been doing this a while, and can easily answer the question. And if she knows the answer off the top of her head, there's hardly any charge at all.
Yeah.
And again, if she has to do some research into the case law or something, she sends her paralegals off to do that. And that's basically the same rate as our town attorney. And if you don't think that the town attorney uses paralegals to do some of his legwork, then you don't know how law firms work. Because the lawyer doesn't do all the grunt work. They have grunts for that make less money. And that's just the way that game is played. But, you know, to answer your question, yes, lots of boards of finances in Connecticut hire their own attorney, just like lots of boards of education hire their own attorney. So we're not you know, reinventing the wheel here. I just want to say I don't see this as, you know, preparing for a war. It's, you know, you can just look at this as, you know, an education tool, instead of trying to figure it all out ourselves. And sometimes it's complex enough or it requires look at case law that we don't have access to. You know, I don't pay for a service that gets me into the case law. You have to pay for that. And that's one of the things you get when you hire an attorney. You get access to that information. And then, of course, an educated eye to review it and find the right case that talks to your situation. And, you know, that's why we have lawyers in general. But anyway, so go ahead, Kath.
Kathy Newcomb has a hand raised. Kathy?
Yes, I'd just like to liken this to, we all have our family doctor, our PCP, but if we have, say, a problem with heart disease or something like that, we see a cardiologist, and our cardiologist would be a specialist. We wouldn't go to the cardiologist to answer routine questions about our health. We would go back to our PCP, but when you need a cardiologist, it's good to have one that you can call.
Okay, I just have another comment. You know, I don't view, to your comments of adversarial, I don't view this as an adversarial move. I feel it's an important move to have the Board of Finance have access to an attorney with expertise in the field of Board of Finance matters. As far as adversarial goes, Ellen and both Al have been working on us with the new policies and procedures. As a board chair, that's something that I look for, of cooperation between. I reach out to Al when I have a question, Al gets back to me, but there are times when I'm going to need that kind of backup as far as receiving services. So does anybody else have any other comments? Also, the Board of Education has their own attorney. The PCC board has a consultant to help them with those issues who we pay. This isn't like we would be the only board or commission in town that has somebody on staff in order to be able to consult. Are there any other questions from any other board members?
Kathy, I saw Stan had a chat and it was up for a moment and it disappeared. If there's some way to bring that back up.
Wait, hang on a sec, I have to go.
It's only up momentarily. I didn't even catch what it said, but it was
about it's still up on my chat.
Yeah, is just it? Click on chat and it shows up.
Yeah,
it's Stan, there. Ian wrote, I'm sorry, I don't have chat open on my screen. I just have the view of the people. So we're discussing financial issues outside of Board of Finance meeting, with only select members involved, just someone with a similar mindset,
Okay, I think that's directed at my comment that, you know, Kathy and I might discuss these things. We're allowed to do that, Stan, and as long as we don't have a quorum, it's not an official meeting. And Kathy's also my friend, and we discuss stuff. So whether or not I discuss it with other people with different mindsets is really not the point.
I just want to clarify there that you know, Perry's and I's discussion in the past over questions about policies and procedures or legal matters. He was the board chair and I was the board vice chair. I do not email and discuss things by email. I open things up for discussions within meetings. And that's just who I am. So if nobody else has any other comments on this, I would like to call the question. Does anybody else have any other comments to add? Seeing none, I'm going to call the question and hang on a second. Okay, Ed Edelman?
Yeah, repeat the question so I'm sure I know what I'm voting on.
Okay. Dana, can you read the question back?
You are moved to approve the engagement letter for the Finance Board's legal services with the firm Mirth & Kalina, dated October 13th, 2020.
Okay. I vote no.
Nick Brown?
Nick Brown, no.
Ian Gagnon?
I'll vote aye.
Barry Machunas?
I vote aye.
Kathy Newcomb?
Aye.
And Kathy Donahue, I vote aye too, so the motion passes. Okay. Hang on, I have to get my agenda back. On to citizens' comments, number 10.
Could I make a citizen's comment?
Yes, you can. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay. this is, I feel like this is an issue that's been brought up. I know it's an issue that's been brought up before because I think I might have brought it up and others have too. The trying to get minutes off the town website. Now, in the past, I think we heard that it was sort of an Apple or Mac kind of issue. I'm working off a PC today, and I was getting the same unintelligible font or whatever when I attempted to look up some past minutes. I assume if it's happening to me, it's happening to others. I'll admit I'm not the most technologically adept individual. But I do know how to look things up on the website or internet, and if it's happening, like I said, if it's happening to me, then it's happening to others. And why even bother having the stuff there if you can't look it up? And I know in the past there was a page or a note on maybe the homepage that said if you're having issues with this, then do that, and. I didn't see any note to that effect. So I'm getting a little frustrated with this because it's been ongoing, it's been mentioned, and it, in my mind, the situation has not been corrected.
And is there particular minutes you can't reach, or is it all of them?
It was Board of Finance minutes. I was looking up some stuff from last winter. When we were still meeting in person. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't have any I probably tried for two or three different meetings. I mean, eventually I found what I was looking for as I went through some of my notes, but I wanted to refer the minutes to another individual who had a specific a neighbor who had a specific question. And I knew about when it was, and I wanted to say, well, gee, look at last March's meeting. And I couldn't do that, you know?
Okay, I'll go into that and take a look tomorrow and just see. Did you check to see if it was only on the Board of Finance, or have you had problems on other minutes also, or just finance minutes?
I think I was only looking at Board of Finance minutes today.
Yeah, because I went through, I today also looking at some historic minutes to pull up some information, and I got in okay, and my minutes were okay, but I'll try to go back into the older ones and take a look, and also check with Shannon to see if there's an issue. Has anybody else had access to minutes issues?
This is Kathy Newcomb. No, but I might suggest that maybe you want to update your version of Adobe Reader. Because that might be the problem, because I think that they're all saved on the website as PDFs.
Okay.
May also be the browser.
it may also be a browser issue, Ed. You know, sometimes different websites work differently with different browsers.
Yeah, I mean, my equipment is fairly new and it's been updated, and my software also is fairly new, but yeah, okay. Well, but still, my point is that if I'm having these issues, other people are too, and why can't we have easily accessible minutes? It doesn't seem like it's that big a deal, you know? And I don't know, whoever we've contracted to do this, I think I would like to see them make some changes to their method so that people can access them. But thank you for the advice, both of you. I appreciate that.
And I will double check it tomorrow.
Yeah, I just went in there just now, Ed. I'm having no problem. So maybe if you don't mind, just email me which minutes you were looking for, or maybe it's specific minutes of the problem. But I was just looking in there.
It was March, February and March of 2020.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Ed, I was going to suggest, do you save your emails from Dana when she sends out the minutes?
No? Yes, I do.
Oh, well then.
Yeah, but you know, the access should be for everyone. It's not just.
Well, no, I understand. Just look at your old.
But they're not always labeled as minutes, you know, on the email heading. So, you know, it takes a little hunting pecking. But right, I do that too. So.
Yeah, and we want to be sure that the access is there for everyone who wants to do anything, whether it's current or past. Right. So, you know, I will check into that, Ed, and thank you for letting me know.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any other comment? Are there any other comments for citizens' comments? Okay. Hearing, I don't see any. No one's speaking up. Stan just posted something in chat that says, works here on DSL. In regards to the minutes, I guess. All right, so citizens' comments is done. Suggestions for next agenda. I think we need to prepare a letter, and I'd kind of like to have some kind of calendar for the budget for next year to go to the calendar for the Board of Finance budget, and also, you know, how we are going to go about that, but also, you know, prepare our letter to send out so that it can be sent out in December. I know we don't usually send the letter out to the different committees and boards till January, but due to the COVID, and I just would rather get that letter out sooner rather than later. So I'd like to put that on the agenda for next time. All the usual. Does anybody else have any other suggestions? I think by next time we'll have a draft that we can send out for policies and procedures so that the board itself can start reviewing that after that meeting. Is there anything else from any of the other board members or suggestions for next agenda?
The airline trail map?
Okay.
Yeah. Does someone need to be contacted there?
Yeah, I don't know whether enough towns have gone in on it in order to make it a doable process at this point, so I'll offer an update on that.
This is Alyssa. I have a question about access to the Board of Finance email. If we could add that to next week's agenda, next meeting's agenda.
Anyone else? Okay, hearing none, as always, anybody can email me before the next agenda gets posted, or the Board of Finance email, or my personal email, or contact me in order to be able to add anything else that you feel should be. Perry, I'm sorry, you have your hand raised? You're muted, Perry, unmute yourself.
Sorry. I just want to remind everyone, I'm pretty sure this December's meeting is going to be my last Our closing is sometime between the 17th and the 28th. So like I said, the December regular meeting is probably going to be my last. I won't be a resident of Hampton anymore. So I will see you next month, I figure, but not after that.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Merry Christmas.
What was that?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. I guess that's it for planning for next agenda.
Kathy, you'll also have to make arrangements to fund the seat grant. That should be on your agenda.
For the total amount, because we have to front both the...
Correct. Correct. You'll be reimbursed for 50%.
Well, we'll be reimbursed after the fact, but we got to do the total amount. Okay. Yep, we're at that. Okay. Moving on to date, time, and place of next meeting. I have my calendar in front of me.
Looks like December 9th.
Okay, so December 9th at 7 p.m. And I'd like to take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion to adjourn.
Diane Gagnon, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Ed Edelman, second. Instead of all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, I think we have everyone. It was unanimous. Everybody have a good night and thank you for your participation. And stay safe and healthy, hopefully. We'll see you next month. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.